Sound On, Power On, your power electronics podcast, powered by PCIM Europe.
Hello and welcome to Sound On, Power On. I'm your host, David Hegarty, and today we are looking at how power electronics fits into the bigger picture of energy transition and climate protection, and the concrete steps one of Germany's federal states is taking to tackle these issues, through support for research, industry and society, and projects from materials and components to control systems and sector coupling. To explain this, I am joined by Frank Osterwald, Managing Director of the Society for Energy and Climate Protection of the German state of Schleswig-Holstein, also known by its German acronym as the EKSH. After his first degree in electrical engineering from the Technical University Berlin, Frank Osterwald went to the Fraunhofer Institute for Reliability and Microintegration to research his doctorate. He then went on to various R&D management and board positions for companies in technologies such as micro and optical electronics and smart card modules. Most recently, he was director of research at Danfoss Silicon Power, where he was also responsible for university relations and industry associations. Today, apart from being a director of PCIM Europe and managing director of the EKSH, Frank Osterwald is also an honorary professor at the University of Applied Sciences Kiel in Germany. Welcome, Frank.
Hello, David.
The remit of the EKSH is very much about the many different ways we can achieve energy and climate goals, which includes power electronics. But maybe we could start with an introduction to the full scope of the EKSH.
We are having an interesting selection of stakeholders or shareholders, which is the state of Schleswig-Holstein on the one hand side and the universities of Schleswig-Holstein, as well as Hansewerk, which is our regional energy grid operator. And these three very different shareholders, they are owning EKSH, and they are giving the mission to us, which is funding research and transfer projects at the universities together with their strong transfer partners. For instance, if talking about projects in research, we are having funded a 2-year project in power electronics around silicon carbide based charging stations, which has been driven by one of our advisory board members in PCIM Europe together with a well-known company around the corner. And then we are supporting scholarships in energy and climate. One of our recipients is focusing on the optimization of losses in electric machines by better controlling the eddy currents in the metal sheet packages of the machine. And to relate our research projects to our climate protection goals, we are currently setting up an energy transition research roadmap together with our university. So first of all, we want to find out what to do, and second, how to do, which milestones do we need there. Yeah, in order to make it all come true, we are supporting municipal projects in energy and climate. And one of our favorite projects, or especially one of my favorite projects, has been realized in Boesbühl. They are owning a cooperative wind farm and solar farm, and they had recently installed an electrolyzer to produce hydrogen. And as an electrolyzer has an efficiency of just around 30%, they have excessive heat losses generated in their system. And in Boesbühl, these heat losses are used to heat water up to 80 degrees C using a heat pump. And then they distribute the heat in a district heating system, so that in the end, the overall efficiency of the system lies around 95%. Last not least, we are bringing people together. In February, EKSH will be the host of one of our most important energy transition conferences called the PowerNet 2024.
Energy efficiency is a starting point for sustainability, which obviously applies to power electronics.
that has to do with any kind of efficiency that you can think of. It might result from building up the systems, using thermally active materials, using low resistance interconnection techniques and materials, and it is about the control of components. It's control of the whole system in the end, which will bring energy efficiency. And I think the biggest level of gaining energy efficiency is when it comes to sector coupling, so that you use heat losses to feed district heating systems with extra heat, which then is coming from a green source. It's from the micro efficiency to the large system efficiency that we try to get better here.
So it's a case of reduce if possible, and if not, looking into ways of reusing the byproducts.
Exactly.
When it comes to efficiency, it all starts with components and materials. You mentioned silicon carbide before.
Yes. We are having a large set of projects running in research around silicon carbide, gallium nitride, and other wide bandgap materials to, on the one hand side, better understand to utilize these new semiconductor materials, and on the other hand, to better understand how to package these semiconductor materials and to house it and to protect it from the environmental impacts that they might suffer from. And EKSH is also sharing some of these project efforts here by funding, in that case, a project where SiC is applied in EV charging stations.
And is this a purely university research project, or is it already in combination with an industry partner?
It's a university project which is partnered with a company here in Schleswig-Holstein. So this will be the transfer partner. And in the end, the know-how, which is mainly coming from the universities, this know-how will be transferred into industry and hopefully will be transferred into market.
And this is attractive for the industrial partner because they're getting a better return on their investment.
Exactly, and in the end, they might also benefit from the transfer in heads. So it's the young talents being well educated and trained on the topic that might, after finalizing their project, then start working for the transfer partner, which is also a quite nice outcome of EKSH funding projects.
Are these topics that companies wouldn't finance themselves? Is there some risk involved in the research?
The company is carrying a share of 20% of the cost by being involved, by spending materials, for instance, costly semiconductors, and by also spending some money into the project if required. This is the rules that we have set here in EKSH for our funding projects. Typically, these university projects, they have a certain risk of failing, and it might be that companies wouldn't enter into that project on their own because of the risk, but also because of a very long period after finalizing the project before you really will be able to earn money with. So it's a long return of investment, and this can then be covered by funds of EKSH.
You mentioned both wind and solar. So are these important drivers for sustainable development in Schleswig-Holstein?
So renewable energies are quite widely spread in Schleswig-Holstein. We are having wind on land, we are having wind at sea, and we are having many, many solar parks in the meantime. So that's one of the reasons why Schleswig-Holstein believes that they are renewable energy sources land number one. And they are also aiming for be the first industry land that is mainly powered by renewable energy sources. And to achieve that goal, we need to be attractive for industry companies in Schleswig-Holstein by providing them, yes, on the one hand side, achievable renewable energies. And at the same time, we also need to present them new talents. Yesterday, we got the last decision in Schleswig-Holstein to let Northvolt start with their battery cell production. And Schleswig-Holstein is quite proud of having attracted Northvolt to set up their business and to set up the production plant here at our West Coast. And therefore, EKSH is also providing these transfer projects in order to allow for getting touch to people, getting touch to recent research results, and to boost the business around renewables. And also wind projects are boosted here, also solar research is boosted here, but all in all, it's about the whole energy system that we try to get even better in Schleswig-Holstein by linking research to municipalities, to companies, and to the society in general.
When you say linking and the whole energy system, this could also be interpreted in terms of the grid.
We are also trying to do research on energy grids. There are some special situations here in Schleswig-Holstein, so let's call it microgrids, where we can have some studies on how these grids are run, how stable they are, how robust they are towards breakdown and blackouts and so on and so forth. And so we also try to provide these special microgrid situations as laboratory setups for further research projects.
Microgrid just refers to the fact that they're local, or is there something special defining a microgrid?
No. That refers to being a local grid, an island. We are having a grid which is at least potentially cut off the rest of the energy grid in Schleswig-Holstein. They are having a battery storage plant, and they might survive for hours and days even when being plucked off the rest of the grid.
So you're able to learn from these isolatable grids because they are a sort of natural experiment?
At least what we are trying to do is to understand what happens if you are having a multiplicity of island grids. If they play together, what happens then? Are they then even more robust or more stable if these islands can either be plugged together or playing as an island grid? All these different connections, all these opportunities that you have in these different island grids, that should be well understood.
And this is to do with the fact that more and more renewable energy is going to be decentrally produced. And microgrids let us evaluate challenges now that wider grids will be facing soon.
Exactly. The decentral grids, they are providing some extra challenges to the grid operators. For instance, if you would have asked Hansewerk as our regional grid operator a couple of years ago, how many power plants do you have in your responsibility, they would have answered that, yes, this is around four bigger power plants, nuclear power plant and gas power plants and so on. And if you ask them today, they would probably answer that around 40 to 50,000 power plants are within their responsibility. That's a huge change in how to build the grid, and a huge change in how to control and run the grid.
Okay, sticking with the grids for a second, you're also researching smart transformers in this context.
Yes, smart transformers are believed to be the future in our decentral energy grids. We are now seeing that the grid operators, they are installing many, many huge transformers. A switch towards a power electronics smart transformer will provide two good opportunities. The one is that via power electronics, you will get access to all the data in the transformer and about the grid. And at the same time, you might get away from copper and go towards semiconductor materials, which is not as scarce resource as copper will turn out to be in the future.
One of the biggest challenges of the energy transition is to get away from fossil fuels for heating. Do you see challenges relevant to power electronics here too?
So if it comes to heating, I think this is the most complicated transition that we are having before us, at least in Germany and in Schleswig-Holstein. We might think of switching to heat pumps in individual households, which will require power electronics to control the compressor in the heat pump optimally. Otherwise, we would lose efficiency in the heat pump. And the second way of playing it would be with district heating systems. And the good question is how to feed the district heating system with fossil-free energies. So currently it might be a gas power plant or a coal power plant that is bringing electricity to the electric power grid at the same time as bringing the excessive heat into the district heating system. And in the future, it might be, for instance, geothermal energy being used to generate both the electric power as well as the heat energy there. And again, there it comes to power electronics required for the geothermal exploration.
And when you talk about controlling pumps efficiently, do you mean in terms of the local control, or does this encompass controlling the repercussions for the grid?
It might be both, in fact. So it's the local control in order to run the system efficiently, and it's also the global aspect of being used optimally for the grid stability, using a certain system at a certain time with a certain power level and so on. So to provide grid stability, it will be allowed to our grid operators to switch on and switch off certain energy consumers in their grid.
These are big changes, not just for energy suppliers and grid operators. This is a new way for consumers to think about utility companies.
To get people on board for the energy transition, I think this is a prerequisite for the success of the energy transition. And if you would like to enhance this acceptance for all these measures in energy transition, you need to let the people benefit from this solution. So if people find out that their personal energy transition is really bringing money back, they really can get mobility for free, let's say, or they can really get their electric power from the roof, that would be something which people really much better accept than if you just tell them this has to be done and please be part of it, even though you won't find any benefit in it. Furthermore, you might have to spend much more money on energy in the future. That's it. No, this is not how to get people. To get people, it's to allow them to find their own solutions, to get their benefit out of it, to invest in future solutions and to harvest the benefits later on.
I know one of the problems Germany faces is distributing the renewable energy from places like Schleswig-Holstein throughout the country. So apart from boosting local use, a good topic to touch on here would also be the green hydrogen advances that you're making.
Green hydrogen plays a big role in the energy transition plans in Schleswig-Holstein. Currently, we are having round about 170% of the electric energy that we need generated. We should make green hydrogen using this excessive electric energy and store the green hydrogen and then maybe re-electrify it later on so that we are just having hydrogen as a storage medium. Or what is an even better idea is to use the hydrogen, for instance, to fire industrial processes, high energy processes in industry. And we are having such kind of industry. We are having companies in the chemical business, and they can make use of ammonia, they can use hydrogen in their products and processes. And this is something which lies within the green hydrogen strategy of Schleswig-Holstein. And EKSH is supporting this strategy, this green hydrogen strategy.
If you were to sum this up and put it in the context of people, profit and planet, how do you see the significance of power electronics looking forward?
I think the importance of coming to a sustainable growth in power electronics business is because of we will find power electronics everywhere in the future. So there is nearly no application where no power electronics will be involved in the solution. The more sustainable we produce our power electronic products and the more reliable they are, so long living, and the more recyclability we are putting into these projects, the better for the future. So then the electronic waste will not fully pollute our earth, and that would be a great achievement. So we could have a look in the different sectors of the energy transitions to find out where in practical life power electronics will be placed. It will be definitely a part in mobility and transportation. So we will find even more battery-driven vehicles as well as hydrogen-driven cars, bikes, trucks, coaches, boats, ships, planes, and helicopters. And all of those, they will be using power electronics. Even more trains will have to be electrified. And if hydrogen is used as an energy carrier, also power electronics will be used in connection with the fuel cells. In the power grid itself, we already talked about power electronics being used for making smart transformers or smart megavolt short couplings, control systems, and also in the energy storage systems. Think of batteries which need to be charged and discharged efficiently.
And if we also put people into this picture?
It's also about talents. We need to understand the energy flow in a power electronic systems fully, not just the electrical part of it. So it will require the understanding of electronics and thermodynamics as well. Power electronic engineers, they will be multi-talents in the future, and they are already. And as knowing everything is a domain of a huge community, our power electronics engineers will have to be communication talents as well. And it's so many professionals being involved, from legal specialists to technical specialists to social specialists and so on. So PE specialists with team spirit and communication skills will be the most required resources in the future. And there EKSH is trying to do good in that. And we need to understand each other, we need to work together, and we need to focus on the goals on climate protection and transition and so on.
Thank you very much, Frank, for your valuable insights into the big picture and the role of power electronics in this. If anything in this episode has sparked your interest, there are links to the specific EKSH project in the transcript, as well as links to many other EKSH projects and areas of activity. If you found this episode useful, please remember to subscribe for future episodes. And if you think this episode or the podcast itself would be of interest to anybody you know, please do share it. For Sound On, Power On and the PCIM Europe, I am David Hegarty, and I look forward to our next episode.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of Sound On, Power On, powered by PCIM Europe. Do subscribe and share.